good way to start the day, huh? Come on. You know, yeah, Jesus is not messing around. He wants to be right here in the midst and make us say, wow. So let's dig into the word here. If you're new with us, we are walking through the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. So if you have a Bible, you can open to the Gospel of Mark. We're going to be in chapter 5 today. And so far, we have seen the book of Mark just explode our faith. Jesus is so awesome. He's so cool, so wonderful. The book of Mark opens with this amazing, bold declaration right off the bat that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the one we're looking for. And then we see this strange scene where Jesus gets baptized, and it says that heaven opens and the Holy Spirit falls on him. And then we see Jesus say, well, the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's his message. That's the gospel summarized in Mark 1:15. The kingdom of God, or the kingdom of heaven, is at hand, right in front of you to grab hold of. God wants to, like he is over Jesus' life, make more of heaven break into and break through the status quo of our life as normal and see it get transformed into more of the goodness and the fullness and the wholeness of heaven. And that's what Jesus' ministry is about. That's why that dove falls and heaven breaks open. That's the message that Mark wants to get us thinking. Everywhere we see Jesus go and everything we see him do and everything he says, it's in word and it's in deed. It's heaven on earth. It's heaven being demonstrated. That's the gospel, is that God wants to break through into the midst of status quo and bring more of the goodness of heaven. Jesus started it, and then he passes it on. That's the crazy, just breathtaking invitation in Mark, is where he says, now come follow me. And in that invitation, he's saying, learn this way of life that I'm modeling for you, that takes the status quo of life and says God wants to do something with it. He wants to open up the heavens, bring it down, flip everything upside down, and have the Holy Spirit's power infuse it so you're living a supernatural, miraculous life where heaven is touching earth. He's inviting us to be a part of that. So we've seen him do all sorts of wonderful things. And we're going to jump today into, actually jumping ahead a little bit today. I feel led to jump ahead in the rest of chapter 4. I'm going to come back to that because there's some really cool parallels with a couple stories there later in Mark, and I want to try to tie all that together later. So today we're going to jump into Mark 5:24 to 34. Jesus is continuing to demonstrate in his ministry, in word and in deed, what it looks like when heaven comes to earth. So here we go. Mark 5:24 says, a large crowd went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Let me stop for a minute. There's a woman that's introduced here. We don't know a lot about her, except that she has been constantly bleeding for 12 years. So to the first century reader of this passage, that means a lot. That means a whole lot, because there's a lot of cultural stuff that is entailed in that. So let me give us a little background there. The reference to the bleeding is having to do with a woman's monthly cycle. So she's got some kind of hormone imbalance that's causing her to have constant bleeding. So obviously, while that would be enough strain of its own, the cultural laws take it much deeper than that and said that while a woman was experiencing the monthly cycle, she was physically, socially, and spiritually unclean and therefore supposed to stay in her house. Catch that. Supposed to stay in her house. So not supposed to touch another person, lest make them unclean. So if this is a few days at a time, out of the month, that's rough enough, right, on its own. But think about this young lady here. She, it says, for 12 years has constantly been in this state. So it's most likely probably her early adolescence, probably since puberty, and now, you know, into her early adult or late adult life. You know, life expectancy is only like 40 years, so it's not, I mean, this is, she spent like half her adult life now quarantined in a house, not allowed in the temple to worship, not allowed to touch anyone, therefore not allowed to marry, not allowed to have kids, not allowed to participate in community life. She was isolated, outcasted, rejected. And to add to her problems, it says that the narrative goes on to say that she'd suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. Man, just insult to injury here. We learn that she's exhausted all of her options. She's all the resources she's had. She's broke now. It's not getting any better. The girl's got to be at the end of her rope. Life has dealt her a really bad hand, and she's tried everything possible in her power to get better, and it is just getting worse. So just kind of imagine her state. And then it says, when she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched him. I want to focus in on a phrase for a moment. What do you think she had heard about Jesus? There's no Twitter, there's no Facebook, there's no internet, newspapers, not even newspapers. What did she hear about Jesus that would make her do such a thing? Now, I have an idea. Mark 1. We've seen this a lot in the book of Mark. There is a buzz going around about Jesus. But let's think, why would she break all the rules to do something? What has she heard? I think it's something like this. In Mark 1, we've already seen this. It says, Mark 1:40. A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees. Like, do you really care? If you are willing, you can make me clean. It says, Jesus, moved with compassion. That's a strong word. It has this, like, in the original Greek, it connotes, like, this idea of, like, this gut-level physical reaction. Like, oh, it's not supposed to be that way. Like, oh, something's wrong with this picture. Some translations even say indignant. He's mad. Is he mad at the person? No. I think that it's this gut-level reaction against the sickness. Jesus is like, oh, that's not the way it's supposed to be. Because what does he do? It says, moved with compassion, he reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he says. So be clean. And immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Now those are some beautiful words right there. Does God care about my physical situation that is not going well? Jesus says, I am willing. Terry Clark found out, I am willing. Everywhere Jesus goes, he demonstrates he not only has the power to touch and heal, but he also has the desire to heal people from their suffering. So word spreads all around about Jesus. And that's why you see in the book of Mark, as we've seen, throngs of people are bringing their hurting, their suffering, their sick, their diseased, because they found out what they've heard is that this guy is not only has the power, but he's willing. He has the desire. So word like that spreads. And imagine you're this woman who's been quarantined off from society. Basically, your house has become your prison. And with the suffering of life weighing you down with despair. I mean, just think about this woman's situation. 12 years cut off, hope being all but lost. And then one day she just hears in the distant hum of her little village, this buzz, this excitement, this loud, there's a crowd, there's talking, there's dust up around. She peers out of the window. Just imagine herself peering out the window. What's going on? Maybe there's this little kid that runs by. You know, and he's giggling and he's laughing. He says, Mommy, guess what? I just got put on Jesus' knee and he told me that God's kingdom is mine. He's all excited. Oh, Jesus. She knows. Jesus. That's about this guy, Jesus. He's the one that has the power and the desire to heal people. So now she has a choice. Do I break all of the rules of my society? Do I break all of the cultural rules in order to passionately pursue Jesus? I think that's where she's our model. Are we willing to break the rules of normal, break the rules of culture and society in order to get touched by Jesus? So she's seen this crowd. She's heard Jesus is coming. And imagine she's peering through the little, you know, little wood slat in the door. And oh my gosh, there he is. The crowd parts long enough where she sees him. And suddenly this rush of hope floods into her for the first time in 12 years maybe. And she busts open the door. She puts on a shawl or something to get disguised. And she just pushes her way through the crowd and frantically just, boom, touch Jesus. Now, why would she do that?
says, verse 28, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Now, we have no idea where she got that idea. That is not a precedent in Mark. It's not something Jesus taught. But she had this idea, this faith, that this guy's so powerful. If I could just get close enough in that crowd, push my way through there, just to touch his clothes, I bet I'll be healed. So she does. There's a very important word here, healed, in this statement that I want to bring out for us, because then it's kind of the whole rest of the passage hinges on this very special word. That word healed is all throughout the New Testament. And it means, it carries a powerful punch. The word in Greek is sozo, and it has the connotation of healing, salvation, to get well, to be delivered. That's a good word right there. Find this word. Everywhere the Bible in the New Testament says save, to my knowledge, or salvation, it's this word, sozo. Think about this though. Healing, salvation, one and the same. In the New Testament. If you've experienced healing, you've experienced salvation. If you experience salvation, you experience healing. They are one and the same throughout the New Testament. So that right there is just an interesting to expand our idea. What is salvation? According to Jesus' ministry, according to the rest of the New Testament, it's synonymous with healing. So then this question becomes, I want us to frame this rest of the passage that we look at. What does it look like when God's healing comes to town in my life? What does it look like when salvation comes to town in my life? Because healing is not just physical, and salvation is not just your ticket to heaven. In Jesus, there is a depth and a richness and a beauty that is really wonderful and powerful, and that's what we're going to see in this woman's story. So what does it look like when the kingdom of heaven, through Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit, breaks into my life and Jesus sozos me. He saves me. Well, let's watch. It says next, what happened was immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. So she felt something in her body. Terry came up today, and it's kind of cool how God's doing this. I did not plan this message around Terry's thing, and it was already, I promise, 6 weeks ago in this slot. But God has a fun little plan, doesn't he? Of showing us what his healing, wanting to demonstrate. This is not just for the Bible. This is not just 2,000 years ago. And sorry, guys, the only thing that salvation is now is you got your ticket to heaven maybe someday. And just hold on until then. Don't get bored, but hold on. Someday you get to go to heaven. It says, immediately her bleeding stopped. She felt it in her body. So, incredible. All she had to do was touch Jesus, and she's physically healed. In this story, we've got to see, we can't get around it, that Mark, in picking out the different stories of Jesus' life, obviously there's so many more that didn't, you know, get in, as he chooses by the Holy Spirit's inspiration of what to put in, we can't get away that he is demonstrating, Jesus is demonstrating that when the heart of God comes to earth and sozo happens, salvation happens, there is the recurring theme that sickness is no friend of Jesus. Ever. In fact, he gets this reputation that he can and is willing, he has the power and the desire to touch the physical suffering, the disease, the lepers. That's why so many people come to him. Never treated as a friend, but always as a foe, as part of what God wants to do to bring sozo, to bring salvation, to bring his goodness to earth. And he says it's when he sees it, he's moved with compassion and he's willing to heal. Over and over we see that. But what I think is so needed to clarify, that's not the end of the story. That is not the end of the story. It says, at once, Jesus realized that power had gone out of him, verse 30. And he turned around in the crowd and asked, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, once again, they think Jesus doesn't know what he's talking about. You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, who touched me?
You know, there was a kind of, Jesus, come on, dude. Be serious. What are you talking about? You know? But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. So the question here is, what's the big deal? Why does Jesus care so much? Why does he have to insist on looking around? If when salvation comes, when healing comes, if it's just about physical healing, then mission accomplished. Why is Jesus making such a big deal of it? Why doesn't he just keep going? In fact, he's right in the middle where this story is sandwiched in between another situation where Jesus actually raises a little girl from the dead, and someone says, hey, come with me. So Jesus is on his way because a little girl's dying. So he's got things to do. He's got places to go, and in fact, the little girl dies, and we'll get to that later. But Jesus has got somewhere to be. So if physical healing is just about physical healing, he should just get going. But it's not. Physical healing is not at all just about physical healing in the ministry of Jesus. Watch. He stopped because God's goodness coming to earth is meant to go so much deeper than our body. Watch what happens. It says, I believe with all my heart, Jesus knows that more work needs to be done for God's heart to truly be displayed for this woman, for heaven to truly come to earth. So watch what happens. It says, then trembling, the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. So this is interesting. The woman, now she knows that Jesus is looking for her as he turns around and says, hey, who touched me? Who touched me? And she knows. He felt the power go out, and she knows she felt the power come into her. So he knows, she knows he's looking for her. So she falls at his feet. Now, interesting question. Why did she fall down at his feet? Is it with fear, like the idea of, uh-oh, she's been caught? She's made the rabbi unclean. She has broken the laws. She has been exposed. Now she's got to confess her dirty deed, and she knows she's going to get it. I mean, she's supposed to be quarantined in her house, not touch anybody, let alone a holy rabbi. To defile him, you are in trouble. So is that why she's falling at his feet? Or is it that she falls at Jesus' feet trembling? In awe, fear and awe are very similarly translated. In awe of Jesus' power, and she falls humbly before him in order to worship. And then she testifies the whole account of what he has done for her, what she's been through, her pain, her suffering, what he could do that no one else could. I think it's the latter. On one level, it doesn't really matter. Because what Jesus says next erases all of both, addresses all of both, whatever her questions are. So what did Jesus do? We know the cultural expectations. The cultural expectation would have been shame her, belittle her, put her in her stinking place. She has broken all sorts of laws and expectations. We talked about this. But what does Jesus do? One word, to demonstrate the heart of the Father, to rush in and break in and bring his healing, his salvation, his sozo to an individual life. And he does that all with one word. It says, daughter, your faith has healed you. Now go. Go in peace. Be freed from your suffering. Let's unpack this for a little bit. As he continues God's saving and healing work, it only takes one word, one Holy Spirit-filled word of power where God is speaking into existence the kingdom into her life. One little but huge life-changing reality that Jesus says, speaking on behalf of the heart of God Almighty, what, God, do you think of this woman? Jesus says, daughter. Now, he's heard the whole story.
He's heard how she was unclean. She was cut off. She's made him unclean. She's broken all the rules. She's broken all of the religious rules. What does God feel about her? Daughter, beloved daughter. Now, think about what this does for her. She's already been healed physically, but Jesus knows that the work is not yet done. God's saving, healing, kingdom breaking in is not yet done, because she could get touched physically and there could be a lot more stuff that's still going on spiritually, mentally, emotionally. So what does Jesus do? He pronounces over her with one word something that completely shifts and turns upside down her world. She had been understood. She understood that her reality was, I'm cut off from God right now. In this condition, which has lasted 12 years, I am cut off from God. I am not worthy to be in God's presence. I'm not good enough for God. And Jesus said, no, when the heaven breaks in the physical, it's more than that, it's spiritual. And you need to know that God's heart for you is daughter. Meaning, you are not cut off from God. You are not unworthy to be in his presence. You are not rejected by him. You are not too dirty for him. You are, in fact, accepted by God Almighty in all his holiness and all his awesomeness. His heart towards you is Father, and you are beloved daughter. That will turn a world upside down. That's her identity, and we all live with an identity. Whether we know it or not, we live with a burning question. Who am I? Who am I in God's eyes? What does God think about me? So many people live life trying to find their identity in what everyone else thinks about them, to try to perform and try to live up to other people's standards so that I can be accepted, so I can be cool enough, I can be good looking enough, I can be successful enough. She had that not even by choice. That was pushed on her. You are not good enough. You are not holy enough. You are not good enough to be in God's presence. You're not even good enough to go to the temple. So she had her identity defined for her. And Jesus comes to town and demonstrates his heart is to touch deep within our being, our spirit, so that we can know in the depths of who we are how God feels about us, our spiritual identity before him. And he moves on, though. Included in that, tightly woven all into this together, the next thing we see Jesus addressing in that one word, he is showing that God's saving and healing work when heaven comes to earth also has to do with our mind. Has to do with what thoughts we have. And I believe in that one word, Jesus is intentionally using it to cut through over a decade of lies that she was believing about herself. Cutting through a decade of devastating lies that had become her reality. When you are a teenager, which is like almost certain when this started, still into adult life, but when you are a teenager, you are incredibly moldable. Teenager's biggest search, what's my identity? Who am I? So right in that crisis of life, she got these messages. You are dirty. You are untouchable. You are unwanted. You are not worthy to be in God's presence. You are a contamination to other people. You are not worthy to be a wife. You are not worthy to be a mother. You are not even worthy to be a part of the community. Those are some heavy burdens. You've probably got some of those same messages in your life. Those are lies. The more authoritative position they come from and the longer we've been told, the more they stick into our mind. So I guarantee this woman is living under the bondage of powerful lies. They had no doubt become her reality. yeah, I'm not lovable. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I can't be a mom. I can't be a wife. I'm not. All of these lies that were screaming at her for 12 years as she laid alone in a house, quarantined off. Lies told to her. Serious bondage. And Jesus shows that is not acceptable. When the kingdom of God breaks in to our life, God wants to set us free from the lies of the enemy that all of us are subject to on a regular basis. And once again, depending on how powerful the authority position was and how young you are, the more they stuck and how long you've heard them, the more they are in us about what it means to be a man, what it means to be a woman. All day long, there are lies that are not in line, not lined up with the heart of the Father. And Jesus wants to set every single one of us free. That is part of his healing. Doesn't just touch the body. Doesn't just touch the spirit. It cleanses the mind. To set free the mind from heavy, heavy burdens. And you know him. You may know him. You may not know him. They're there. And they bleed into our emotions. And I think that's the last thing I want to hit today. Jesus has a very clear intention, I believe, in this moment to also free her from those painful emotions. You could say this is your heart. Imagine the wounded emotions of this woman living under those lies for years. It starts in the mind, bleeds into the heart until that's what you feel. Rejection. That's one of the worst feelings ever, to be rejected. We have this deep need in all of us, God-given need to be accepted, just to be loved for who we are with no strings attached. You don't have to perform. You don't have to get it right. You don't have to be good enough. You're just loved. And that is so hard to come by. But the opposite is so painful. Rejection. I don't fit in. I'm not wanted anywhere. I'm an outcast. Oh, what a horrendous life to live, feeling an outcast. I don't belong anywhere. I don't fit in. I don't have a home. I don't have a family. And the shame that comes with it, and the guilt that comes with it, of she probably felt that because, you know, in that day and age, sickness was understood as you must have sinned. You must have sinned. If you've got sickness, you've sinned. So the guilt and shame, oh, I did this to myself. And the message of I'm inferior as well. I'm inferior. I'm not good enough. You know, everybody wants to be successful, right? This was, you are so far from successful, you're worthless, you're inferior. Just stay inside. We don't even want to be, you don't even be a part of us. Think of the hurt, the pain, the humiliation that she regularly felt. If she was exposed in public, she can't even go out of her house. If someone recognized her face, you're not supposed to be out here. Wow. Can you imagine the humiliation that she must have felt? On a regular basis. You are so unwanted. I mean, this is serious pain. And Jesus, wow. Thank you, praise you, Jesus. When you come to town, your heart is so big. It's not just physical. It's not just spiritual. It's not just mental. It's emotional as well. Jesus, with one word, wants to break her free from the lies that are tormenting her mind. Because check this out. If you are the daughter, the beloved daughter of God, then all those lies and all those negative emotions that come with it come crashing down, and your identity and your worth can flood into your being straight from the heart of God. And Jesus says, fie on anything else you've heard from anyone else. Here's God's heart. So flowing out of that identity, and I think that's Jesus' point, where does salvation begin? Where does healing begin? Where does heaven breaking into earth begin? One word. Daughter. Or son. Flowing out of your identity Everything else changes. Everything changes. Lies are broken. She gets set free to know she is not rejected. She is beloved. She is not inferior. She's valued. She's not outcasted. She is accepted. She's not guilty. She's clean. That is God's sozo. That is God's healing and salvation that he wants to bring to our heart, soul, mind, body, spirit. When heaven comes to earth, God has the heart to save, to heal every aspect of our being. You flowing with me? Is that an amen? That's some good news. Every aspect of our being. And that's why Jesus says, right after that, "So now, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Suffering, that's a general term. There's suffering of the body. There's suffering in the spirit. There's suffering in the mind. There's suffering in the emotions. Be free from all that suffering. What kind of suffering? Go in peace. That's a very special word. Jesus is probably speaking in Aramaic or Hebrew, to translate it into Greek later, but that word is shalom, used all throughout the Old Testament. And it's, again, same word as salvation, but it also means wholeness or healing or complete. What kind of salvation does Jesus want to bring in your life? Complete salvation, whole salvation. Every aspect of your being matters to God. It's not just a physical healing and then Jesus is on his way, doesn't care. It's not just, oh, I got my ticket to heaven and then when I die someday, everything's going to be good. No, now. Jesus wants to bring heaven to earth now. Is it all now? No. Do some people not get healed instantly? Yes. Is there a mystery in that? Yes. 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 But, wow, let's just worship the Lord Jesus as he's demonstrating this heart. For you, when his wholeness, when his salvation comes to town, shalom is what he wants. He wants to say to you, go now in your shalom, peace. Go in your shalom, that your wholeness, your completeness. He wants to make you into a complete person. That is the most breathtaking, wonderful news anyone can share with you. I want to close with this, the challenge. How do we grab on to this? And there's so much of this, so much of Jesus demonstrating what it means to be a disciple, what it means to pursue him, to follow him. We've looked at various different things. You got to drop everything, be willing to drop everything and follow him. You got to be humbly hungry. I want to see what this woman today demonstrates and teaches for us on how to grab hold of that touch from Jesus. It's a hard one. She broke all of the cultural rules to get to Jesus. She broke the rules of not being outside with her physical condition, not touching someone, not interacting with people while she had this uncleanliness, and all sorts of stuff. She broke the rules of culture, even religious culture. The religious leaders are some of the prime suspects that gave her those messages. She broke all those rules. And in the broken and fallen world we live, we have lots of unspoken and spoken rules. That just like her, if we are not willing to break the rules, we're probably not going to get our breakthrough of heaven into wholeness and completeness. I mean, you know, check on some of those. Check on some of those in your life. Some of those rules like, well, I got to be in control. I got to know what the next step is. I got to know. It's all got to be planned out, and I got to see if I can handle it. Dangerous cultural rule if you want to follow Jesus. How about, I can't go ask for prayer in the back because that makes me look weak. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. I don't want to be seen as weird by my friends. If you're a man, you don't cry. It's weird to dance. Or lift your hands to sing to Jesus, I might look weird. Church, oh, that's just on Sundays. I've never experienced this before. So, no thanks. Everything has to make logical sense. Everything has to be comfortable. Culture, 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 culture. Spoken and unspoken rules of engagement. What's acceptable? What are you allowed to do to fit in, to be acceptable? Bondage. You know what that's called? Bondage. Lies that are going to hold us back. If this woman had listened to all her cultural rules, she would have never experienced Jesus, and neither will we. But look what she got. Look what she got. You think she was disappointed? She took that risk. She stepped out. I mean, she could have gotten stoned for what she did by the law. Pushed her way through the crowd. I got to get to Jesus, breaking all the rules. She got sozoed, saved, healed, freed. Some of you are living under the burden of destructive lies. Some of you are living under the pain of damaged emotions. Some of you have no idea yet who you are in God's eyes. And in some degree, all of us are this woman. Because until that day when the kingdom of God fully comes and heaven fully breaks through, comes to earth, none of us are done. So all of us are this woman in some measure, where we don't know who we are yet fully in God's eyes. And there are hurts that are still there. And there are struggles that are still there. And there are lies that we still believe. And there's a touch on our body that we could still use. And Jesus is inviting us all, like this woman, and that's, I think, this beautiful picture. Let go of what other people think. Humble yourself before his feet. His feet. So that he's the only one you're trying to please. He's the only one you care about what it looks like. So that he may raise you up a more healed and whole person than you were yesterday. That's good news. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we want to worship you, God. I just pray that your Holy Spirit would flood our hearts right now, and you would just help us, help our minds, our affections, our will, our spirit to just raise up more to the level of your worth. That with the thoughts in our minds, with the words on our lips, with the emotions that flow out of our hearts, with our affections, it would be more passion for Jesus, more love for Jesus. You are so worth it, God. There is no one like you. You are awesome. We worship you. Who is there like you? Who else could we go to find such a salvation? We praise you, Lord Jesus. There is none like you. You are truly the one and only Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And it was all your idea that you came to pursue us even when we are not pursuing you. And you passed through heaven and earth and hell in order to save us and bring this new life, bring this sozo, bring this wholeness and completeness starting now. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And we just pray that you would give us the courage to take those steps, to show each of us individually and as a church where in our life today we can surrender more to you, give it more to you. I pray that you would expose some areas of lies and hurts, not because just you want to bring up pain, but if it doesn't come into the light, then you can't cleanse it. I pray you would be showing some things to each of us and giving us that courage to move on it and take that bold step today, whether it's sharing with a friend and getting prayed for, sharing with a spouse, coming back and being prayed for in the back, whatever it may be, however you want us to respond, I pray that you would help us to know the concrete way of some steps to take. And if those concrete steps means asking for help, asking somebody because you don't know where to go, I pray that you would help put that on some hearts too, Lord. We just don't want to live in suffering, Lord Jesus. And we thank you that that's your heart. You don't want us to live in suffering, in painful emotions, in lies, physical suffering, spiritual suffering. Thank you that you don't want us to stay there. That's not your heart. Teach us how to come to you and fall at your feet, Lord, to grab hold of your garment. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In your name and the authority, the power of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
For more podcasts and updates, go to weareelevation.com. Also, follow us on Twitter @weareelevation and on Facebook, facebook.com. /WeAreElevation.